as I can this morning. But I have a message for every single one of us this morning. And I believe it's a message, too, that's going to be speaking to people. Maybe it might just be you. It might just be a few people. But I want everybody to listen. And I want everybody, the Holy Spirit, to realize that He is the one that is able to cause things in our lives to change. And cause things in us, things that Satan has been stealing. God doesn't want that to go on in our lives. And He wants us to know that He can take care of it if we allow Him to. My message this morning is, don't let the devil steal your song. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with everything. Let's take a look at a verse of Scripture. I've preached on this before in the past. But it's an interesting verse of Scripture because, well, let's just read it and I'll expound a bit more afterwards. Sing, all you who have had children. What does it say? Oh, sing, oh, you barren. Sing, oh, barren. You who have not born, break forth into weeping, studying, seclusion, sad face, weeping, crying. No, it says, break forth, you barren, into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with children. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Notice who says it. Enlarge, now listen to this, enlarge the place. This is before the child even comes or the children even come. We're not just going to be talking about children this morning. Think about it. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. We can go on to that. We can spend some time there too. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. In verse 3, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. From a barren person, God says, sing, O barren. He's not just talking about bearing children, but it has to do with that as well, because God had a plan for causing His people to expand in number, to increase in number, to populate, and also show forth the living God in and through a people that He would bring out. Barren here in the Hebrew is akar, the word akar, and it means to be sterile. I guess we all know that. Surgically, as if by surgically destruction of the regenerative organs. Sounds pretty crass. But that word akar is actually, it comes from a root word, which it stems from the importance is this. It says to be barren is to pluck up as if by the roots. It means to hamstring someone. Do you know what hamstringing means? It means to cripple a person. You cut the tendons in the back of the knee so that they are crippled or handicapped. You do that to animals. To cripple, to make lame, to disable. This is not only for physical, this is also for mental. This is also for the soul. Listen to this. To cripple, to make lame, body, soul, to disable, to handicap, to injure. And we can take it a bit further if you want. It says, having no imagination, or you had imagination, but that's sort of like you don't think like that anymore. You're not creative. No new ideas. No energy. Aren't we living in a day where there's so much we're doing, getting caught up, and we end up at the end of the day or the end of the week, no energy, which also affects no sleep. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Think about it. Our world is full of wickedness. It's full of sickness. And I'm not here to preach a gloom and doom sermon, but it's all part of what we have to see at first. The world that we live in is all full of gloom and doom and wickedness, and it is full of sickness and disease, and it is also full of death because Satan now is the little g god of this world. He came in through a side door. He came in through man, usurping man's authority because he tricked man. Nevertheless, we're not going to get into a whole gamut of thinking that we can get off on that. But we have to realize is that Satan is the little god of this world, and all that Satan is sickness, disease, and he carries with him death. And he's out to injure and destroy and to hamstring and to make lame and to handicap people that have been made in the image of God. It sounds like a bit like John 10:10. Let's put that up on the screen. John 10:10 says this: the thief does not come except, and Jesus describes, he's describing the devil when he says this here. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but he says, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly or to the full. Total opposite, black and white, right there. It encapsulates who Satan is and what he does and what he's out to do as compared to what God is and what God's plan is and the power for God to fulfill what he alone is able to do, no matter what else comes along. Satan is doing all he can to steal your song. You say, well, I don't have a voice. If you can't sing, just make a joyful noise in the shower. Sing somewhere, sing something, but sing. I can see the smiles. It's okay for you to say that, Pastor, because you like to sing. And your family likes to sing. And there are other people here that are able to sing. But I can't sing. Yes, you can. God said, oh, barren. Do you have areas in your life that are barren, that you've been ripped off on? Even if you're a young person or a child, are there areas in your life that you've been dropped? Remember Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son? It was not his fault. His grandfather and father were at war. His nurse carer began to flee, picking things up, including Mephibosheth. And as they were leaving and fleeing, she dropped him. It was not his fault. And she didn't mean it either. Who was behind it? And so for all of his days from that point on, he was lame in his physical feet. He was a prince to be. And now he was living a life of an outcast. Do you know what it's like to have feet and legs and not be able to use them? Can you imagine what you would feel like in Mecca if you had legs you couldn't use and you couldn't play basketball or you couldn't do some of the things that you're doing? Anybody? What a shame. Just a young boy, 5 years old, and it started until someone down that God had planned, King David, who was as close as a friend to Mephibosheth's father, who now, David, Jonathan, was dead from battle, asked if there was anyone else left from the household of Jonathan. And from that point on, they sought Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was brought to the palace of David, and he was catered for lock, stock, and barrel. But you know something with that young fella? He's one of the only ones, and I've said this before, he's only one of the only ones in the Bible that never received healing. But every day he sat at the king's table and he looked just like everyone else from here up. And he was able to laugh. and he had people caring for him. And he had friends that would take around and muck around and have some fun and do things. And all of those things that were ripped off and all of the handicap that he had, all of the dismay that he went through at an early age was all restored to him. Even work, he did not even have to work and lift a finger to do things. That's the kind of a God. I'm not saying that God's going to, you know, you become a Christian, you have to do anything anymore. But I'm saying that whatever your predicament is, God will more than abundantly put it back in your face and in your body and in your means, that which has been ripped off, you've been ripped off from, that which has been destroyed out of your life. And it may not have been your fault. If you made wrong decisions, God still will resort to a person who will repent of their ways, and he'll do the same thing again. He'll slap Satan. He's already done it. Slap them upside the head. Get him out of your face and put you where you need to be in God's plan. That's our God. That's his love toward us. He's not an angry God who doesn't like people. He wants us. Satan is doing all he can to steal our song, steal your singing, steal your laughter, steal your joy, steal your success. Don't raise your hands. Anyone here attempting to do stuff, and I'm standing before you because I have tried it, a few things. You tried to do something to become successful in an area, and it's just like, it's buried. That's not our God. It's not our God. He'll cause us to become successful as well. Satan will try to make you sad. Satan will try to make you weep all the time. But what does Psalm 30 and verse 5 say? Let's take a look at that. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Did I put that on there? Okay, I'll read it. Well, you know it by heart anyways. Weeping may be or endure for a night. What comes in the morning? Joy. Joy comes in the morning. You see, Satan only has a certain amount of time that he can to try to buffet you. But God is bragging at why he's doing this to you, why Satan is doing all this stuff to you, is because God's been bragging about you. God's been bragging about you. God has been bragging about you, David. Trials come, God's been bragging about you. Satan doesn't like it when God brags about his people. Look what he did to Job. Look, it happened to Job. Now, that wasn't his whole life. Job wasn't sick his whole life. There was about nine months or thereabouts. And God restored everything that Satan took away. God restored over and over and over again, so he had even more than when he started. He says, is that possible? I say it is possible. There are things in our lives that we lost. Things in our life that were ripped out. Things in my life that were ripped out. And I've seen God putting them back in. More than I ever had before. He's able to do it if we keep our eyes fixed. Weeping is an outward sign of an inward condition. And this is why we see people when they're weeping, they're heavy laden. You know, they've got something wrong. Something's broken inside them. Whatever caused the pain or whatever caused the dismounting of happiness inside their hearts has caused them to have a facial change. And a person who is bent over, weeping and down in life, they don't have eye contact that much. And they're always sort of like bent over. And they're not easy people to talk to. And if you talk to them, that's all that comes out is poison. I don't like hanging around people like that too much. Sometimes you have to listen to somebody. That's part of our job as Christians too, not just for the pastor. Have a listening ear, but then take what they're saying, listen to them, what they're saying, and take them somewhere. Not back to what they've gone through, but take them to God, what he says about their conditions and what he can do with them. Joy, on the other hand, makes a person jump and sing, causes a smile to come on our face, causes us to look at life as though I'm not doing too bad. Even though I may have a half a glass, I got a half a glass of water. It's not like, oh my God, I just got a half a glass of water. Or I've got a half a tank of petrol. Oh, no. Well, I've got a half a tank of petrol. I can go whoop, whoop here. Well, maybe not whoop, whoop, but pretty close to it to get to where you have to go. It's all done with a laugh, a smile, ear to ear, standing out. Some of you, I'm not saying this in the wrong way, too. All of us, I've had my back to the wall. Pastor Murray and I, at times, have had our backs to the wall. There may be people here this morning, you've got your back to the wall, and you don't want to hear a sermon like this. In fact, you'd rather come up and punch me out. Well, not really. Maybe you don't want to hear stuff like this, but I'm not here just to condone a condition or your back being against the wall, whatever the circumstances are that have caused you to be that way. What I'm saying is that God is a God who's able to pick you up and take you to a higher place all the time. Where Satan has always been trying to drag you down, God has a place reserved for you, and he will get you to that place. No matter how bad the devil's trying to destroy your life, no matter what he's throwing at you, no matter what family problems there are, no matter what kind of sickness there is, no matter what the doctor's report is, I've got news for you today. If you got a bad report from the doctor, you can look at it and begin to weep, or take it in a little bit and then look up and start to sing. If there's anything that Satan is trying to do with the Christian people today, is stop them from singing. You say, well, I've never heard stuff like this before. You go sing all day? Let me ask you a question, you tradies. I'm not sure what you're like, Peter, but I know, like, when I was working with tradies and when I was working with another builder and stuff like that, the other young fellows around always had music on. And if you turn it off or the power went out, oh, man, it's hard to work without that music. Why? Because there was a song being sung. What Satan is trying to do is rob the song. Basically what that verse is saying in Isaiah 54 is God has placed a song in your heart from heaven. Satan doesn't want you to sing it. And they're not just talking about one song over and over and over again, because God says sing a new song. So there are things that God, when God wants us to sing what is in our hearts, but Satan doesn't want us to sing it. Why? Because at one time before he fell, he was the arch worship leader, actually designed to create music in beautiful patterns. He was beautiful himself, and he fell because he wanted to be like God and raise himself up. So when he hears and sees a person that God has created in his image and that God has placed, and he catches wind that God has placed a song in their hearts, don't you think he's going to be a little bit jealous? Has anyone here ever been at a workplace where you know or anything? What I do now, I've been in positions where I've gone somewhere, or I've been even here, around. And there's just some quality, I don't know, we all do it, it's just human nature. We've got a quality that causes us to have people look at us, and they know we've got a certain quality, and they become envious and jealous of it. And so they respond to us that way, trying to usurp and trying to defeat, cause us not to smile, so that they can try to do something with it. Do you understand sort of what I'm saying? Have you ever had people that you just wonder why they had such a negative reaction with you? It's because you've got something. And it's not just a good look. It's something, a quality inside that when it begins to manifest through you, people become envious, and it's a spirit. It's not God's spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's Satan's spirit. He's jealous. That's why there shouldn't be any jealousy in the church. If you have jealousy in the church, it's a fingerprint of the devil.
Well, I'm doing this, and I'm the pastor, and you'll do as I say.
Or you can find another church. You're in sin.
Or I'm the worship leader, and if you don't do exactly as I say and sing and put the face on that I want you to put on, you're in sin.
Go on and on. It's all kinds of stuff we can look at.
No.
There are things that Satan doesn't want us to do. The basic one is he doesn't want us to sing the song that God has placed in our hearts. The pressure's on. The bills are stacking up. Pastor, who do you think you are preaching to me this morning? I am not in a frame of mind to listen to that stuff. I've got a lot of pressure on. In fact, I'm ready to scratch your eyes out. Time to sing. R.W. Shambach gave a testimony of one of his tent meetings that he had years ago. And he said while he was preaching, there was a little lady, I think she was a black lady, that came in. And she started walking up to the front. And he's got his dogs out there watching, his guard dogs. But this lady came up toward the stage and he says, "What do you want? I'm preaching." And she started to cry. And she came up and he says, "Well, what's wrong?" He can be pretty abrupt sometimes, but he can be very compassionate sometimes too. But to that time, he was a little bit on the abrupt side. And so she began to tell him that this was on a Friday, that she was going to be kicked out of her premises because she hadn't paid her rent for over 4 months. And she started to cry. So she says, "Tomorrow, I'm going to be out of my house." And she was crying. Well, he said, and he used Sing O Barren. Sing for joy. And he started to use some other scriptures and started to talk to this woman. And she says, "Can you pray for me?" He says, "Okay, I'll pray for you. In Jesus' name, you need to believe that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Now go sit down." And she went back there, but she did receive a little bit of faith with what he said. And when she went home the next day, aren't we like this? Every time I go to the mailbox, it says, "Money cometh." I'm always saying, "Money cometh." And you know, sometimes it doesn't come in the mailbox, but it comes other places. And I looked at my wife, sometimes we say, "It did. Money come." Not that we're always looking for money, but money cometh. That's one of the things that cometh, money. Anyways, this lady, the next day, she goes up, checks her mailbox out. And what was she looking for? Just mail? She is looking for an envelope with money in it. What did she find? 4 more bills. Does that sound familiar? It's like the preacher preached, I got the message, I've got my faith, all of a sudden, whammo. The devil hit you harder. But you know what she did? She went in the house, and she still had the faith to believe that God was going to supply her need. And she put down the bills. She put the bills down on the table. And she says, "And Lord, by the way, thank you for the money that is coming for the rent, but would you please take care of these bills as well?" True story. Sunday came. R.W. Shambach is preaching again. This lady, however, she did show up, but before she showed up during the weekend, what happened was, now get this, this is faith, and this is the power of prayer, and this is the power of God's word when you have faith in it. The just shall live by faith, even if it's little faith. There was a lady, the lady that was going to be kicked out, she had forgotten that a long time ago, she had given money to another woman that was in destitute need. And the woman somehow found out where that woman lived. And she came to the house and she says, "I don't know if you remember," and it was by phone, sorry. She says, "I don't know if you remember me," but she says, I was the lady that you gave money to that I, some years ago, decades ago, that 30 years ago, I think it was, that you gave money to. I was in destitution for money. And she says, and you just gave it to me in love. Well, I never gave it back to you. And that's 30 years. And she says, while the lady started to tell her testimony to this other lady that needed the money for rent, and she says, I was going down the street and all of a sudden I looked in this window and I saw, I heard this person talking about the Lord. And she said, and all of a sudden there was a conviction that came on me, and he reminded me of the money that you gave me. And she said, I'm here to give you that money back. You ready? With 10% interest over 30 years. Come on! Are you, boy, this sounds like a really, are you there? This really happened. When the lady went back to the tent meeting that night, R.W. Shambach was saying, what do you want again? And she gave her testimony. And there was jumping and there was dancing in the camp. 30 years owed the money plus 10% on top of it. It was the Spirit of God being released on the woman because she had the faith to believe the power of prayer and the Word of God to change her circumstance. And by the way, she was going to be kicked out the next day. That was a Friday when she told R.W. Shambach. It was the Resurrection Sunday when she got it. Oh, yeah, it's nice. Nice story. Think about it. Hold on to it. Because if you're in a position now, and whatever has happened to you to rob your song, and you're singing, God wants you to start singing. And I'm literally singing something as a praise and a worship to God. You know, we can do it when we're finished here because I'm just about done. Yes, I am. Just about done. Pastor Moran's not here. I was going to go a bit longer, but that's all right. You'll tell on me. Word gets around real quick. Praise God. But you need to take it. You know, I'll end here. I'll even stop there. There it goes. Do you know, whatever it is you've got that you have need of, it's a minus. You've got a lack. I've got a lack. But the Word of God doesn't say that we have a lack. God says, God will supply all of your needs any time in your life, any day that you're living, any trial that you're going through, any bill that you receive, any bill of ill health that you receive, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus, the one who lives inside of us. Today, God has a miracle, and it's all wrapped up for you and myself this morning. You know, Christmas time, I find it's just a beautiful time. I know sometimes it's a difficult time with some families, and maybe not in this church, but there's other people that they don't get together, they don't have family time at Christmas. But over the years, even when I was a kid, man, you know, my parents, they used to buy us things, and some of the things we knew because we used to bug them all the time. Can I have this? I want that toy. I want this jet. I want this train. Da, 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 da. Lionel trains. I used to love those little things. And then we used to get up, and early in the morning, of course, you have to leave the little sandwich and milk for Santa and a cookie. And you have to be good at least the last couple of weeks before he comes. Otherwise, Santa will not give you anything. Maybe a piece of coal and a stocking. But, you know, there were times growing up where we'd get the kids, my brother and sister, we'd get up in the morning, bam, right to the tree before my parents got up. We're just looking at all the stuff. Dare we touch anything, though, until they got up. But you know something? They used to sit there on the couch. We used to sit on the other couch and sometimes on the floor around the Christmas tree. And they would give us our individual gifts. Did you ever do that? Debbie, this is for you, my sister. Mark, this is for you. Chucky, this is for you. Don't call me Chucky. But, you know, they had it all wrapped up beforehand. Our names, your name is on your gift this morning. Your name is on your miracle this morning. Your name is on your miracle this morning. It's all wrapped up. God has proportioned it for you exactly what you need and overflowing. Your name's on it. But, you know, if as kids we were there and our parents said, here, Chucky, here's your Christmas present. And they'd give it to us. And we just put our hands down and didn't do anything to receive it. What good is the name on the gift if we, and what good is a heart that's not willing to receive it from the hand who's prepared it beforehand to put our name on and say, it's yours. Take it and enjoy it. Was the gift for us to cause our parents to weep or to have a bad time in the morning? No, around the Christmas tree, it was a happy-go-lucky time. Man, I tell you, especially when I got my red Schwinn bike, two-wheeler. It's bigger than I was. It had trainer wheels on it. That was a lot of fun, man. What about today? Can you picture that in your household? Not Schwinn's bikes, because they don't have those anymore. Praise God. God is about to do something. Now, one more verse, if we could. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, and I've got that one down there. I'm waiting. I'm just kidding. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't just think of the people that were back there that they were being addressed. God is speaking to every single one of us this morning. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, shall keep on going to have its effect on you anymore. Even if it's there, it's going to stop. I am the God who is stopping, because whatever it is, I'm bringing healing and wholeness, shalom, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And he says, you shall prosper, it shall not prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Well, who's always judging us besides some of the friends that don't like you? Constantly, day and night, Satan's tongue is going against, grinding against you with accusations of, look what they did. Look who they are. Look where they're going. Look where they're trying to go. Look what they're trying to do. And they're leaving you out and they're doing all kinds of things. Why do you keep on loving them? Jesus is sitting on the throne, the mercy seat. The blood has already been there. And he's telling Satan to shut his mouth and get him out of sight on your behalf. Because God has gifts for every single one of us this morning. The gift of healing, the gift of finances if you need it, the gift of love if you don't have love. If you're hard this morning, God has a way of cracking it open, wide open, and allowing his love not to be poured on you, but to come out of you. Are you hearing what the Word of God is saying this morning? You shall condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Myself and my personal mom and dad and my brother and sister and their kids also, I've got my children who are here, and I've got my beautiful grandchildren that are here. We have a heritage in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not that we're walking and nothing's ever happening that could hurt. But there are things, no matter what, how bad it is, God is a God of restoration. God is a God of miracles. I am the Lord God who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. That's his name. There are hundreds of other names that just show what God is. But he's a God of fantastic proportions, that it's too much even to take what he's able to give us if we'll but believe. Remember that little lady that was ready to get kicked out? Maybe you're in a place that you know that you're going to be kicked out, or Satan is, or circumstances are trying to kick you out. And you might be like that little lady that came up to the altar of God crying. Well, it's not time for you to cry anymore. It's time to be happy. It's time to be filled with the joy of the Lord. It's time to start singing the song that God has placed in your spirit. And when you start to do that, guaranteed, it may not be today on a Friday. It may not be on a Saturday, but it will come on the resurrection Sunday. He is risen. Nothing can stop the Lord from what he is able to do. Amen. Do you smell coffee? Would you like some coffee? Let's pray. Anyone else, if you'd like some prayer this morning, if you want to spend some time at the altar, I'd like to encourage you to come up. If you want to stay in your seat as well. If you want someone to pray with you, just ask your neighbor to pray with you. And let's break these things, man. Let's start to sing. Let's start to break loose. You know what I haven't seen for a long time? I like it when I go to the youth. Sometimes I've been there, and they're all just sort of, and they're dancing around, and the music's going and stuff like that, you know. And it doesn't happen too much right here, though. Now, this is not to slap hands, but I reckon one of the things we need to do is to let the Spirit out and not be afraid to start getting up and doing something. I remember, I will close with this. I remember the one time I told you this before when I was in the Baptist church and I was in the singing, and I'd be up there in the front, and all of a sudden we'd sing a song and the power of God was so strong in the song, or we'd be up there sitting while the pastor's preaching, and he'd hit something, he'd hit the nerve, man. Even though he's Baptist. It was the Holy Spirit poking at me. I can feel you. I can feel you. I was ready to burst out of my skin. I just needed the Holy Spirit to infill me and finish the job, man. If you're here this morning and you like baptism or refurbishing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, that's a starting point for God to do the miraculous as well. Amen. God bless you, Lord Jesus, today. We just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the consistency and the unfailingness, Lord God, that you have as you work in and through each of our lives, doing things, Lord God, that each of us have that are so different from everybody else in some ways, but yet so unique to mankind. But yet, Lord God, today, we want to stand here today, Lord God, and receive the gift.